Welcome to Tilth Talk Radio. Today we're going to be doing our special episode, the third annual Fantasy Corn League Results Show. With me today are Bill Schomburg.
Hey guys.
Todd Schomburg.
Hey to all the Tilthies out there.
Special guest Doug Hintz.
Hi.
And our commissioner, Derek Potratz.
Hey guys.
Boo.
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 Ah, I knew it was coming.
And I'm Matt Brueger, all with Tilth Agronomy. Here we are, the moment we've waited for since back in May when we did our draft show. It's time to hear what... So the World Series is over, now the next best championship, the Fantasy Corn League Championship. So what is the Fantasy Corn League, you may ask? Well, Fantasy Corn League participants are owners, in finger quotes there, and managers of a group of corn varieties as a team that engage in competitive plots, accruing fantasy points based on the yield of the corn varieties. Teams are drafted prior to the growing season. Like I said, back in May, we did our draft, and winners and losers, we decided now that the plots have been harvested. So each team is represented here, has five varieties. They can come from any day length from our pick list of varieties that we had. One bushel equals 1 point, and the team with the most total bushels and or points wins. So our divisions of competition in this are top yielding variety and plot, top yielding team, so the highest yielding team average. So whatever happens, good luck to everyone here. Just as a disclaimer, this is fun and for educational purposes. Fun plot to do. We're independent crop consultants. We're not selling agriculture products. We're not promoting whatever varieties win. It's just kind of an open trial for these varieties that we had available to us. We all feel seed companies have many good varieties to offer. We work hard not to have any company bias and pick based on past field experiences with these varieties and plot data. We let farmers pick whatever seed company they want to work with and then work with them to pick their varieties. So if any seed company has, or farmer, has a variety that they think we should try, I'd love to take a look at it. So again, for fun, the winner gets trophy. And any seed company is welcome. We want to thank this year's seed participants. We've got Dairyland Seed, Partners Brand, Cropland Seed, Wyckoff Hybrids, Bex, and Rank Seed. And this was our first year with two locations, Omro and Seymour. So we've got, you know, the Tilth World headquarters here in Seymour, and then out in the middle of Timbuktu, where Derek lives, is the Omro plots. So,
is that the Research World headquarters? Derek?
Research World, yeah.
It's a satellite site.
He's got a pretty fancy sign. Yeah. Like, we need a sign. His sign kicks butt down there.
That's my brother. Yeah.
So, but yeah, now we can roll into it as we conclude this season. And once again, I'll turn it over then to our commissioner, Derek Potratz.
Yeah.
Again,
really?
Yep. I think it's a tradition that we have to uphold.
No, like Matt said, just thank you again to everyone that participated. Hopefully this is gives some really good sound data to the area, and let the fun begin here. So should we start with the overall results just by the Omro trial and the Seymour trial? So let's just go through the top half.
He's
going to
make
trial.
Us wait, guys.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That's what he's
saying. No, I'm not
going to anticipation.
Everyone would click off. Like if they heard the winner, they'd just be like, oh, I'm done with this episode.
That's why all the TV shows do like the commercial breaks, like right as the cliffhanger is there, so that you have to stay watching.
In the Omro trial, our average yield was 262.6 bushels.
Nice.
Our top variety in the trial was actually a Wyckoff 2336 Tricepta RIB, and that one came in at 292 bushel.
Yikes.
Next best was Rank 582 Smart Stacks. That one came in at 275 bushel. That was probably one of our most decisive wins, actually, with that Wyckoff variety that we've had in recent history.
Yeah, it's not quite a 20 bushel advantage there.
Yeah.
So. Good job, bro.
Yeah, what was kind of neat with that one is really consistent yield across all of the different reps in the trial. So we like to see that and a pretty consistently high-yielding variety there.
That cob looks Looks like a Gerst cob right there.
Yeah. And Doug's got the cob. You can probably see it in the webcam there.
It's not doggy.
You know, we grabbed two. We grabbed two different reps from the trial, and like I said, they're all pretty consistently really dense blocky ear. So
it looks like a ear you could put like on a sign.
Is it heavy? Looks heavy.
Yeah, it's got some pretty good weight to it.
It actually didn't come in. It came in on the lower end of test weight, but it was one of the higher moistures in the trial as well, which probably explains. So the third place variety in the Amro trial was a Wyckoff EX5202 SSP. That one came at 273 bushel. Fourth place was a Partners Brand 7427 conventional. That one's at 272 bushel. Fifth place
for conventional. That's
pretty impressive.
Yeah, and Todd's got it there.
Yeah, nice looking cob. Maybe not all perfect same ear, but you know, nice good weight to it too.
And that one had good ear placement too.
A little bit tip back, but
fifth place was a Partners Brand 7184, just a bushel less, 271 bushel. And sixth place, we'll just stop there, was a Wyckoff 2299 Tricepta at 262 bushel.
Yeah, all those, you're going halfway down the plot and everything's above 250. I think, even the lowest in the class there was only 240, so that's pretty good.
Plot placement in Amro was pretty much optimal this year. With all the wet, weather we had this spring, anything that was kind of on a higher part of the ground field, it seemed to just struggle. Anything that was really low obviously got drowned out or really didn't do well. So
sure.
If you're kind of in that middle part where you'd had the right drainage, and that's where this trial was, it really did well.
Looks like for the most part, too, moisture-wise, it dried down pretty well other than a couple in the 20s there.
I had some other trials that were down in the 13, for moisture.
13, that's good.
Yeah, and I was asking
were
around.
Were they soybean trials?
No.
Okay. No, those were nine times.
Yeah, those were nine. No, I actually asked a couple of growers in the area just to make sure we were calibrated correctly, and a lot of people were getting down to 13s. It took a couple of days. Someone said they opened up the field a couple days before, and it was, it dropped like 3 points in a couple days. So,
do you remember your planting date on this?
Yeah. Well, offhand, no. But
harvest date was last week, right?
So you can effort it.
Right. Last week was harvest, but it would have been mid-May.
Mid-May to we're sitting here on November 1st, and it was harvested the second to last week of October. So, it was not a prolonged season by any means for this corn, and it got down.
But it did get a lot of GDUs.
Right, yes. So, a lot of late GDUs,
right,
too.
So, like some of these, like Ring 582, 98 day corn. So, some of those later day corns are going to show a lot better this year.
And just to get back on the planting date there, Matt. In a second here. Somewhere in the middle of May. Sorry about that. I'd have to look a little deeper into that.
You're good.
No. Well, we drafted, I think it was the 3rd of May, so it would have been after that. We know that for sure, so probably between rains whenever there was an opportunity in mid-May.
Planting was
remember the day it didn't rain?
Yeah, that was the day it was.
That was the day.
That was awesome.
That one day.
Speaking of planting dates, Seymour was a little bit more challenging this year to get into than Amro. We had probably a 4-day stretch that we got all of Amro farm planted, and Seymour we had about a 4-hour stretch to get in. So, and we got in there.
I remember one morning, Derek, the night before we had planned, like, okay, we got to start early the next morning and plant and.
It didn't call for rain until like noon the next day.
And it rained by 10 a.m. I think it was raining.
Yep.
Yeah, just this spring.
Yeah.
How it was.
Yeah. No, it was. So the Seymour trial was planted May 15th and harvested October 17th. So, Yeah, we got in there May 15th, and like Todd said, it was probably the first day it was fit, and then the next day it did rain at like 10 o'clock. Luckily, we got everything finished. So, but let's go through the yields here in Seymour. To start off with, our highest yield was a Dairyland 3900 AM. Came in at 251 bushels. Second place was a Wyckoff 2160 PCE with 247 bushels. Third place was a Wyckoff EX5202 that was at 246 bushels.
That's a lot of Wyckoffs we're talking
about. And Matt's
about
got it in his hand
doing
there.
Good.
Yeah, and that Wyckoff was actually an Omro if you look up above.
Yeah, I took third in Omro and third in both, actually. So
placed pretty well in both locations there.
Yeah,
good pick, Matt.
Fourth place was a Dairyland 3881. Came in at 446 bushel. Hardly any difference.
446, wow.
246, wow. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Somehow it took fourth.
Wow, yeah, it's amazing.
3881 is like that racehorse sort of plot winner type of corn. So that's interesting that it kind of settled out where it did,
yep.
You know, in ours on the top.
Fifth place was a Partners Brand 6962 conventional.
Ooh, conventional corn.
With 242 bushels.
So we had conventionals in the top five in both plots.
Sixth place was a Dairyland 3730, 240 bushel. Seventh place was Rank 571 with 238 bushel.
That's been yours, Todd, that's your stalwart.
And we'll stop here at eighth place with Cropland 3790 with a 237 bushel yield. And our average yield in Seymour this year was 232 bushel.
Which I think, as we discussed prior to recording, it's exactly this, pretty close to exact same as last year's plot average. So
we're doing well.
We're consistent, if nothing else.
Yeah. It is a different field, so that's different.
Yeah,
it is a different field, but
I would consider the one that was on this year a better field, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, the area it's in for sure.
Definitely more historical fertility.
Yes, just a
right closer to the barn. And, yeah.
Yep, P levels are higher there, and it's a little higher fertility. Actually, the area that plot is in is drained pretty well too. So I've always been happy with that trial.
Yeah. No,
this year we did have, you know, with all the rain, I think we did wash some of the nitrogen away, which we saw, across the growing region. So nothing different there, but, pretty amazing to see how resilient these varieties are. They might look a little bit drought or nitrogen stressed late season, but they still put on the yield, which is pretty amazing to see.
It's a good point, Derek, because I almost think it's being bred in to just take everything it possibly can mm-hmm. and put in into these ears. You know, like there is there's no doubt in my mind that some of that end stress look is not necessarily a problem. Obviously, you don't want end stress corn. We don't want that. However, I think it's bred now to pull a lot of that. If you want good yields, you are going to have potentially weaker stalks and not as good because it's going to just suck all that out.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is the silver lining is the plant is sacrificing itself to put more into the cob for yield.
Right.
And
obviously we don't want to sacrifice everything
right.
that it lays down.
Yeah, there's definitely a fine line there, but it is kind of the plant is being bred, like you said, to kind of try to protect yield. So
one of my interesting notes from the Seymour plot is the number two Wyckoff 2160. One of my notes was weak stalks, so it came in second place, but I think that one puts, you know, that isn't going to be a corn you want to leave out till Halloween.
It's not to put you too much on the spot, but yeah, what was harvest date last year? Do you remember when we harvest?
Ooh.
It was later
than this year.
I should look back. I did. I don't know if I still have it up
last year.
Because yeah, I was wondering that too, given the quicker harvest window we had this year. What
would you say, Derek, that for the most part everything was standing well?
Yeah, actually I had other trials that fell apart, and some of those weren't, you know, commercial varieties yet, but we did have some, definitely some stock lodging in there. Because we did have some winds up in Seymour, especially.
Yeah. Yep, there was some late wind
through,
that came in.
And most, I didn't see any real snapping in either of these trials.
Must not have been too far off, because, sorry to interrupt, but November 10th is when we did our results show last year. So we're within 10 days of doing the... Now, I don't know if we were waiting for plots to be harvested right before that. I can't remember, but either way, we're within a couple weeks of last year's harvest. Yep. To some extent, so.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that harvest date from last year.
He's efforting.
He's efforting. No, I think overall, just looking at the breakdown of these plots, you know, obviously we generally consider traits in a corn-on-corn situation to be better, but we are not planting into a corn-on-corn situation, so you're not seeing the traits necessarily rise to the top in all these scenarios. So we had conventionals in the top five of both plots. Now, that, you know, I think from a standpoint of investment into your hybrids and that kind of stuff, not saying you should plant all conventional, but giving it a shot if you need to might not be a bad idea if you pick the right one. So,
do many years have Western bean cutworm in them? Did you see much? I didn't see any in these plots. No. Where some areas we would have had problems with that. So,
yeah, no, there's definitely some in the landscape this year.
Right. Yeah. Right.
For reference, last year we harvested October 30th. Okay. Last year, so it was a little bit later.
Yeah, and that was, and we only had the one plot too. We didn't have two locations last year. So
right.
So this year we were about 2 weeks ahead on. Just looking at Seymour exclusively because that was where we harvested last year.
You guys got any ideas? So three of my varieties I wrote tall by when I looked at them. And all three of those did pretty well. And I don't know why height, like height to grain usually doesn't matter. But I think that maybe this year with how wet it was, how, yeah, you're right.
Counted leaves,
but
maybe.
like Deerland 3900. Always tall. I mean, Doug, you know that one. That,
yeah.
Just a beast, good dual purpose, good silage. You know, just tall, looks good, were my notes. That was number one overall. The other, you know, tall ones was Wyckoff 5202, tall, good cobs, you know, kind of just, and that was number three.
Yep.
And Rank 571, tall, looks good, was number seven. So, I mean, some of them taller varieties now that could, is this a lot of like, well, you're in a plot scenario, so being tall, does that help because you're taller than your neighbor?
Right, shading out your neighbor.
You know, all that, because, you know, we plant four-row plots, harvest the middle two rows to try to prevent some of that neighbor effect.
Yep.
So I think that's part of it. So one thing to watch is maybe a one-row plot or two-row plots might be different when you have that neighbor effect.
It'll be exciting when we have short corn that we can get into the plots, yeah, to see how that stacks up.
Right. What it does. But yeah, if that's just a year, and one of those things is a lot of those times when they say tall, like that sometimes implies dual purpose, that you could do silage on it and stuff like that. But
I think too, this year height wise there was a lot of variation depending on emergence and everything else, and like Derek said before, these two plots were actually in pretty decent locations as far as drainage and everything else, so maybe we didn't see as much variability in the plots as we've seen out in the landscape. But
well, and okay, and then I'll go to my flip side of where I saw shorter corn, Deerland 3881, shorter corn, yeah. Not, you know, and that was number four in the plot, and that had very low ear placement as well. So, sure. So that too, you know, it's not like those got sort of shaded out necessarily, just, but looked good ears, just they were kind of lower on the plant, which isn't it for grain. That's great.
Perfect.
That's what we want. So, yeah, I think
to expand on that, Todd, in Amro and in Seymour, kind of looking, we have height data in the trial.
Yes.
So looking at kind of that VT to R1 height, so they reached their maximum height. We do see I shouldn't say correlation, but just anecdotally looking at the data, you kind of see a little bit of a trend there with the taller varieties are kind of coming in higher this year, which seems different from what other years, because you don't really see much correlation there.
What I would say with those tall ones, if you leave them to harvest till after Halloween, you're not going to see that. They're just going to fall over
right.
And have problems. So I think that might be something with how much heat we did have, that might correspond to a little bit better when you get that bigger statured plant and you get the heat.
And later season, having the lower ear placement would be better because you're closer to the base. So, yeah, not having that height doesn't necessarily help you late season. Might be fine early season if it's a shorter day corn, but.
Nothing good happens in a cornfield after November 1st.
It's a bag of suck.
After Halloween.
Thank you, Jeff Frank.
The other thing to think about, guys, is tar spot and disease pressure in these plots. So, Derek, maybe you could talk about what you saw down in Amaro. Here in Seymour, I pretty much did see tar spot on all of them, but not enough tar spot to be a problem.
No, tar spot came in pretty late.
It was late. You could tell it was very late. You could tell it really didn't affect anything in these rankings, anything with yield, but it was there. One to note that rank 444 was one of the, so all of them I saw tar spot, that was one where I actually saw like very low amount of tar spot. So that was enough to kind of know that it must either came in a lot later on that corn or just wasn't as much of a problem, you know? And so that one has been denoted the big dog, but that one kind of a little bit better, you know, sort of plant health and can seem to be able to hold from tar spot. But what was interesting with it is the ranking on tar spot is a 6 in the book. So it wasn't necessarily, so I don't know, some of these rankings will be interesting this year because, again, was it there? Yes. Did it matter for yield? Not at all. So in a way, I would almost say that ranking didn't matter. If you use a year like this to rank, it didn't matter.
Yeah, and same, I'd echo that, Todd. It seemed like tar spot came in as it was drying down. It didn't really affect much. In Amaro, too, it came in. Pretty much every variety had some level of it. It's hard to differentiate between them. So
in general, I mean, we're talking about our plot specifically, but Derek, you do a number of plots. Mm-hmm. Was there any X factor that you picked up on this year that you saw across, you know, multiple plots that maybe was the limiting factor? Was it the drainage side with the early moisture? Was it the GDUs that we got?
Emergence score?
Emergence, yeah.
Because, like, some of those where you're just, you're wet and we weren't cold, we were wet.
But we weren't super warm either, though.
Right.
Especially early.
Yeah, drainage this year, I think, I mean, if you were in a good spot of the field, like I said, in Amaro, that I think drainage was a huge factor.
Well, you had a couple plots that were just...
Correct. Like I had a couple plots that you couldn't harvest, and I heard that across, you know, some people we work with have trials across the nation, and they were seeing a ton of drownouts this year.
Sure.
So trial placement was huge this year. Kind of doing your homework to make sure you had those trials in the right spots that historically haven't had issues with that. So
One of the things to note at Seymour is our stand count. Not that stand count means emergence, but in general it means emergence. But what's interesting is one that had the highest stand count, Bex 4501, was kind of lower on the plot.
Yep.
So that had the best, and the one with the worst stand count
did the worst.
So like, it mattered, but it didn't. It probably mattered, you know, obviously if you got a flex type year.
All right, those two were literally right next to each other toward the bottom.
One had the highest stand count and one had the lowest. So, again, if you have a low stand count but you got a good flex year, you can make up for it. And then in this case, if you had a high flex, you know, a high stand count but it was a flex year, it kind of hurt you too. So, in general, though, I mean, you got a stand count range of 34,848 down to 30,000. So it wasn't like down in the 20,000s or, you know, where we have problems. And at Amaro, too, I think you saw pretty good stand counts as well.
Yeah, you know, this year we seem to have pretty good stands. Obviously, we had optimal moisture this spring, so...
yeah. Could you say optimum?
Optimum.
We had above optimum.
Plenty of moisture.
Bordering on suboptimum.
And that was a pretty big contrast from last year. So we did see a little bit better stands this year as compared to last year.
And target rate was 35, 36. What were we shooting for?
It was 34,000.
34, okay.
And the planter really kind of plants 35, yeah.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. So our top stand count was 34.8, so I figured it had to be around 35.
Your Amaro stand counts were tighter, though, 34.9 to 32.1.
Like a Twiger.
So you had a little tighter window there, and not the lowest wasn't as low, but it's still a very good population.
Yeah, there's always something interesting in plots, and that's the nice thing about doing this plot in particular or other plots is you're always going to pick up on something in the given year. Last year we had the really droughty year. This year we had the bookend drought. It was really dry early, super wet in the middle, and then got really dry at the end. So next year will be something completely different. I don't remember the first year of the trials what we had for. Was that a more typical year?
Normal, Matt. You remember?
I don't say normal. I say typical.
Nothing's
typical. I like your bookend drought. Is that a Matt Brueger coined term? I like
yes,
that.
Yes, I did.
You forget about how dry we were in March and early April. And then guys, too, got early beans in talking about how good early beans have done. And they you forget of how dry it was and then just didn't stop raining.
Yeah.
Yep. And then very dry at the end.
If you remember the Forge Council annual meeting in February, we brought a climate guy in to talk about
I remember because farmers remind me of like, hey, remember you guys when you said it was going to be a drought again? Right. It's like, well, we didn't, like that guy said.
It ended that way.
Yeah, right, right, right.
We started and ended it. It was just we had the weird weather in the middle.
Yeah.
I think, too, how many guys went home and did tillage after the meeting, though.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Oh, manure.
Right, like how many.
And manure.
And manure,
a lot
yeah.
of manure got hauled
in February.
And it worked well right. then. It was good.
But, yeah, no, I just, it's always interesting to see what these plots are going to do given any type of adversity. And like you said, they're kind of bred to make up for it. And really, top to bottom, you know, we did have the one standout in Omro as far as yield. But, you know, there's some consistency across a lot of the varieties as far as, you know, yielding well. We had nothing under 200. And maybe the first year we might have had something. I don't remember. I'm not looking at the numbers. But, you know, we've had that. They're all yielding well. So there's something that we've talked about before is the takeaway from this is not like, oh, we got to plant all this one variety necessarily. It's that, you know, if it's placed well, population emergence does well, drainage is there. You know, a lot of these varieties can do really well, but they're even when they don't do, you know, extremely well, they're still doing good.
Mm-hmm. One neat thing about having now a multi-location plot is how much that, you know, multiple sites matters. One specifically in this plot that shows is the Dairyland 3881. Like I just told, that's that short-statured, lower cob placement. And did really well in Seymour, but in Omro, it was in last in Omro. So just because something yields well, you know, try to use plot data close to you. That's why multi-location does matter so much in having more plots, because we can see that these two sites are very ones of pretty loamy soil, a little more forgiving in Seymour. And then in Omro, you have kind of it's a clay. It's just
But
I mean, even when people soil sample in Omro, they will tell me. Like actually one of our guys that started this fall doing kind of an internship type of program in the fall. And his first day soil sampling was Omro. And ooh, he's like,
you dove him in the heart end.
Well, right. And he's
a deep end, buddy. Yeah. Go.
Yep. And then the next couple of days, this is way easier. I'm like, it's different. Yep. It's not that sticky clay.
One thing to note, though, when yield wise, it was fairly consistent. Correct. It was within 6 bushel in both plots.
Right.
So, and we're not, these two plots weren't mirror images of each other. They're not
correct.
Completely apples to apples. There's different varieties that were in Omro that weren't necessarily at Seymour and vice versa. But, yeah, the consistency was there because it's 240 in Omro in last place and 246 in Seymour in fourth place. So, yeah, it performed well in both locations relative to itself. It's just other varieties in Omro excelled beyond what it was capable of doing there. So it's not, not a bad variety because it did well, it did, you know, perform very similar in both locations.
Well, are you guys ready?
Yes. Been waiting.
Yes.
We've been speculating all morning. I told Todd this morning when I got here, like, let's just take your picture and get this over with.
Get it over with.
He's been our two-time winner, But
I don't think I won though. Looking at these results, so I am.
Which I do now have to concede my
correct
myself because I think I said third at the opening.
It's fourth.
This is our fourth annual. So my bad. It's the fourth annual Fantasy Corn League results, not the third. There was no. Maybe in my mind we had some sort of collusion going on one year that we had to like. There's an asterisk sure. behind. We'll call it either one of the one Todd won. There's
we're forgetting,
an asterisk, but
forgetting those that year.
Yeah,
it's just gone. Just from our memory.
Turning a blind eye.
Am I the Yankees or the Dodgers? I'll be the Yankees. They just lost in the World Series.
Depends
so
if you win.
I'm the Yankees.
Who's your favorite little rascal?
And Matt, I don't know if you mentioned it at the beginning. Just to remind the listeners that. Four of the varieties were picked. They were all planted in Seymour, and then each team picked one variety that was planted in Omro that counts towards their yield
yep,
score
no,
this
I,
year. Oh, you did.
Okay, I did good. Not bring it up before, but I was good. Planning on, so thank you for pointing that out. Yeah, so one, each of us only have one variety that counts in the Omro plot, and in Seymour, we have the rest of our team. So,
and we will be releasing this full data set, the results, so you can go back and look. Some of these varieties that were planted in Seymour were also planted in Omro, so you can kind of get a look at how they performed in both locations. But
yeah, I want to thank the seed companies that work with us once again. I mean, every year we've done this, you know, some have kind of come in, come out, but really do appreciate all the partner companies that, you know, so it's again.
We literally couldn't do it without you.
Literally could not. And this is a props to those companies because you are putting yourself out there, both good and bad. You know, that is something that is hard that some companies would rather choose not to compete in a plot scenario. Instead, you know, these companies chose that, no, this was a good thing to put and be out there competing because, yes, you're not going to win every plot. And that's why I brought up the multi-location thing too, just because one didn't do well in our plot in one of these locations does not really mean good or bad. This is to look at, you know, more of the good. I would say more of the times you want to look at, you know, the ones, okay, that one did well here. It could do well here, you know, in another spot. So Derek, can you give one more rundown of the company names?
Yeah, we had Wyckoff Hybrids, Rank Seeds, Partners Brand, Bex, and Dairyland.
And Cropland.
Yep.
Yeah. So thank you to all those seed companies for, you know, for working with us, for doing this. We look forward to working with anybody next year again to do it again. So.
All right.
Here we go.
Without further ado,
number
four.
On your program, but number one in your heart.
All right. In fourth place.
At least for one of us.
In the 2024 Fantasy Corn League. Was, yeah. Don't look.
It's trying to show us all.
I did it again, boys.
Was Bill
DFL? Yeah.
You're the Russell Wilson of corn plots. Yeah. You're Mr. Consistent.
DFL.
In third place,
somebody has
I think
to be
Derek
in the bottom.
Does that on purpose.
Number three
was Doug.
Dougie.
That's
Doug.
A shock, especially on some of the ones that.
Yeah.
All right, let's give Todd his trophy.
It's pretty consistent, too, though.
Man, I told you.
Slightly
you
above Bill. In second place was Todd.
Oh! Oh!
Hang on. Because we're doing a Zoom, too. Where's the... Wait.
And...
I can't find it.
The winner of your 2024 Fantasy Corn League is Matt.
Woo! Nice. Well done, Matt.
Good job, Matt.
I was going to do a little celebratory... emote thing on here, but I can't find the emote.
That's
there
what
it is.
You're going
there
for.
It is. Yes, I found it. Hang on.
I didn't know that's what the plan. You're looking for the...
Yeah, watch this. Watch my screen. See the little trumpet in the corner? Woo! The timing was terrible on that. Wow, I was not expecting that. I thought for sure Doug was going to take her since he had a top
hybrid.
Yeah. But last year, I... was like in the middle of the pack with the two top hybrids, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Yeah, well,
interesting breakdown this year.
Thank you. It was all me. I I coached it really well, and it had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with the varieties in the year.
So Doug did have, he had the highest yielding variety, but then his last, you know, three, the bottom three in his plot didn't kind of match up to everyone else's. And that's really where it went down. So it kind of stays with that. You can't have the bottom.
I feel like I always have like the best one, but then
That's what tanked me last year, was I had the worst variety in the plot.
Matt, you had nothing under 222.
Right. I think my lowest, so the rest one was a conventional, and that was 12th.
And the rest of us had under 210, 212, 214 for our lowest, so 10 bushels under that for our lowest.
Yeah, Doug and Todd are neck and neck there.
What's the breakdown, Derek, from top Matt's team to my team? How many bushels? Is it six?
Seven. Well, no. Yeah, because my the seven. Decimal point's higher, so seven bushel top to bottom.
That's one thing to note always, too, is these are very close.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like, yeah. I mean, Matt, you did beat us, Doug and I, by four bushel, but Doug, I only
beat you guys
Doug.
Were...
Yeah, Doug and I were point
literally two, wrestling like, yeah. each like other Doug, for second place.
Yeah, Doug just needed that extra kernel.
Yep.
Yeah, no, literally that Doug and I were, you know, Doug... Basically tied for second on that.
Todd was helping harvest and threw an extra cob.
He's like, oh. Did not help at harvest.
I think next year we should all try to be there at harvest and just like stare at Derek while he's harvesting the plot. Like, just.
I will say, you know, we did say we don't want to have the bottom, but Bill this year didn't really have a really high, you know, a higher one.
Yeah, he's got a fairly tight, you know, other than his bottom was 214, but he had 224, 240, 250, like fairly tight collection there. Whereas Doug, I think you had the biggest drop because you had the leader there.
Yeah.
And then went down to a 219, sort of the 80, not quite 80, but 70 some bushel variance.
The way we did it, that's why I kind of thought Doug had a good chance.
Yeah.
If you picked the right one at Omro, because it was that much more high yielding of a plot.
Yep.
So probably really too what killed Bill.
Kill Bill.
Was his Omro pick. If you didn't pick that Omro pick correctly and you were kind of lower on that, your whole team was kind of screwed that way.
Doug and I were next.
It's still his best corn.
It is.
but correct. That's because that plot was that much better.
Yeah.
You know, and it was fair. We all got it's to 40 pick
bushel.
One Omro. Yeah. But
it's 40 bushel better.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah. I had second place in both plots with my counting variety in Omro being second place. So, yeah, Doug and I probably had the best chance at things, just that Doug had the bigger lower end.
Yeah.
If you look at that number, Doug, though, like 252, you're like, that was what? Why did I end on the bottom with 250?
Yeah.
But when you had 290, that's why.
Right.
One, you had the best one in Seymour. Right underneath it, they're like tied.
Sure,
you won Seymour.
Yeah,
yep.
Right.
Yeah, so if this was last year, you probably win that bill. If this was how we've done it in the past, well, again, multi-site is important.
Not necessarily though, because I had the top two varieties, and still lost because I had the worst variety. So just winning the Seymour plot wouldn't necessarily have guaranteed him, because in Seymour I had the second and third place.
Sure.
So I would have two.
Yeah.
It all depends on yield, too. Like,
consistency matters of what I have used this goofy, made-up fantasy plot thing that we have for fun. What I have always learned, though, is try not to pick the dogs. Like, don't... If you can,
that they're bad varieties, just that they were the bottom of the plot. That's
right.
That's all he means by dogs.
What I do mean is, for Seymour... Pick what does well in Seymour.
Yeah,
right.
Avoid at all costs what doesn't do well.
Right.
That's mainly and you don't need to hit the home run guy. You don't need to hit the look at Doug picked the home run one and he didn't win. You know, like it's not about home runs. It's about getting on base. It's about just picking that kind of what's going
to
be in that top.
To continue
10.
With your baseball terminology, would you rather have a one-off home run or a grand slam? Right. And it's the grand slam every time.
I mean, Freddie Freeman.
Baseball season's over.
Boo. That's a boo.
It's the closest finality of a season that we have to compare here, because it literally just ended. But no, that at least it wasn't tough. No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks for doing the work, Derek. And
yeah.
Bill, thanks for being our anchor.
This is interesting.
You're welcome. I'll be here next year.
Yeah, I think overall, we just want to thank the companies again for providing seed. We hope you'll all participate again next year. Maybe we'll get some new varieties in there. You know, I think we'll continue with the two-site thing. And who knows, maybe in the future we'll have some bigger teams to look at and more chances at getting that top end yield for the fun of it. I mean, really, that's all it is. It's the fun of it. This is great data. Appreciate, Derek, all the work you put into this.
And for the growers listening out there, you will be able to find this data. We'll post it on this Hilltalk Radio Facebook
social media
page. And then we'll also be posting this on our website and details of that to follow. In that post as well. So look for it in both spots and really look at this data. It's nice to have a local data set like Todd alluded to earlier to help choose your varieties.
Yeah. And yeah. With that, I think we'll wrap things up unless anyone has any closing statements about being a bridesmaid, never a bride or anything.
No.
It's
just more of that Wyckoff that you got to get a dealer up here, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was the surprise of the year, just something we haven't had before. We really didn't know much about. My third place team in Seymour and third place in my overall team was an experimental from Wyckoff. So, I mean, it's...
So they don't even know much about it yet.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't say I cheated because I had no knowledge of anything on those two.
Looking back to the draft, too, that was one of the hardest parts is... We didn't know a lot about those Wyckoffs and certain varieties we didn't know as much about. So that does get hard when you don't know as much about a variety. So, yeah, having new and more information is always really good.
Since Rank was my top variety, you think Jeff will give me like a signed Colonel Rank thing or something?
Yeah, you should.
Is it like meeting the president after the Super Bowl? I should go down the rank seed and
bring
like shake hands
and
with
have
him.
Bring
the cop with me. Yeah. We were doing the video thing, I should. Where's the
Jeff? Will you sign my cob? I don't even know. Yeah,
there you go. There's the top. So not the top of the plots, but the top of my team.
Top of the winning team. So.
All right. Well, thanks,
Matt. Do you want a closing statement of your?
Victory,
your big victory lap. Or are you gonna? Yeah.
I don't have anything prepared. Want to thank my parents and God, of course, Tilth Agronomy for being there through all the hard times. And I have
no
exceptions.
You're not going to Disney World?
No, I'm not going to Disney World. They just raised the prices again, so it's kind of getting expensive. And there's no cash prize here.
Yes.
So I literally just have bragging rights for about a year, and that's it. Thank you guys for being here today and for participating. Thank you for all the work you've done, Derek. And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in. And like Derek mentioned, we'll have the plot results out for you shortly. So thanks again. And with that... Have a good day and happy farming.